Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Dustin Rhodes, aka Goldust, has been released. What do you think about this one, Aaron?
Doesn't anybody really care?
No one cares. Yeah. No one cares at all. But someone does care because CM Punk actually told a fan to go kill himself, which I find hilarious because it was dealing with gay marriage. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I'll say this much. Regardless of what your views are about the subject matter, you probably should not tell somebody to go kill themselves because you disagree with them. And it's not like for a lot of people, it's a really big deal. For some people, you may not care one way or another. And I really think that Punk obviously has a pretty big view on the situation. But at the end of the day, like, is it really worth it to, you know, piss off one of your fans and also let the dirt sheets get a hold of this? Because they're going to run rampant with it. And then you have to issue an apology saying, I'm sorry that I said that. I really don't want somebody to kill themselves. And people can read right through it. I'm sorry, but they can't. I could read right through that.
Oh, yeah. He didn't care. He just came out and said what he had to say. And then he's like, all right, I'm done. Out. Pipe bomb. But yeah, you could tell that he didn't have to say that, but he did. So whatever.
Yeah, I think it goes to show that, you know what, whatever your views are on Twitter, why would you talk about something, you know, that's, kind of controversial? Why would you talk about that and alienate half of your audience? I don't understand why you would even bother doing that. If you have that view, that's fine. You know, keep it to yourself. If you are for or if you are against it, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, maybe this is really a storyline you never really know sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Albert Del Rio, this has been a while, but now it's starting to get – it's getting out there a little bit more. Del Rio is talking about actually retiring. And the reason behind this is because he's still healthy. He's healthy. He has no problems whatsoever. If he was to go out right now, he'd be on top. He'd have plenty of money left over. And he
I don't know if that. I would say he's on top.
Okay, he's not on top, but he's a mid-top. How's that sound? He's a mid-carder, and it would actually be decent for him. And he can go back and say, hey, I wrestled for one of the biggest wrestling organizations out there. Actually, the biggest, WWE. Comes back, and that's it. And maybe he gets to keep all of his cars that kept showing up in.
And he's a former WWE champion, too.
Yes.
That says something. I don't think it's time for him yet. I would say, put your time in the business. You know, when you get into your 40s, I think it's probably a good time to quit. You know, wrestle. You know, a lot of kids will get in there in their 20s, maybe like 22 or so, wrestle for 20 years, retire at 42. You had a good career. You probably, if you're smart, you have money saved up. And in today's current climate, while they care a lot more about head injuries now, you're not going to have to worry about that. So, you're probably not going to take a whole lot of chair shots. You should be fine. He seems like he's relatively healthy. And I think he could keep it going for, another 5 years probably. So I actually disagree with the situation. I don't know as much. Maybe there's something else going on. But I don't think it'd be a smart thing to do to quit, this early. Because he's not even in his prime.
No, that's the thing. And see, I think this came up because the WWE is actually looking for more Mexican-style wrestlers. So with, with Rey Mysterio being out and Sin Cara being out, those were actually some moneymakers. And now that they're both gone for a while, if they brought a couple more in, they would take their spots and maybe they could get more merchandise sales out of them too.
Yeah.
Or as what I think is going to happen is that they'll just drown the other ones. They'll bring two in, and then only one will survive. So, anyway, so what's going on with the Scott Steiner, Aaron? What did Hogan say just recently?
So Scott Steiner, honestly, we're gonna have to do a weekly topic on him. We got stuff lined up for the next 2 weeks, but we may have to bump him back. Honestly, we may have to, because Scott Steiner, like, we are gonna have to devote some time to this. Scott Steiner had this big revelation, and he was saying that Eric Bischoff paid strippers to come over, and then he would have a three-way with him and his wife. And, you know, Hogan, or he would be, he said, Bischoff, what do you think about that? What do your kids think about that? And, you know, that's my big revelation. That's your biggest revelation, really? Like, that's not that, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's adults doing adult things. I don't feel like that's that big of a deal. I was thinking he was going to come out and say that he was, you know, a closet homosexual, which would be, you know, weird since, you know, he has a wife and two kids. That's what I was expecting. So that was his big revelation. The other thing that happened, though, was Hogan's phone call, which I believe that you listened to.
Yeah,
that,
I listened
to
it. Yeah. It was pretty interesting. He came out and he didn't know about it. He didn't know that this was going on. So that was the best part about it. And he actually said – he was very nice about it. He's like, I was just telling management the other day. I was like, you know, we need to bring back someone like Scott Steiner. As apparently he was making fun of me the entire time and saying that I wasn't, you know, saying all those things he said on the internet. And I find it funny that Hogan's like, and then he was really – you know, he was like saying that I want him back, but apparently he had problems with management, and management had major problems with him. So that's why he's just not back in TNA. But – you could see his frustrations because he was, at one point, the WCW champion.
Mm-hmm.
And now what is he doing? He's wrestling indie shows, making little cash, and has an ego that you would think that he's like a billionaire. But he's not.
And you know, I like I said, we'll do a weekly topic on it, so I won't belabor the point. But it's not like we're sympathizing with Bischoff and Hogan by any means. It's more about we're reporting it and, you know, kind of taking, you know, look at both sides of the story and then kind of decide for yourselves. Like I said, we're going to talk about it here in a couple weeks. So let's move on to Raw, Andy, where let's talk about Big Show and Johnny Ace are having a little bit of issues.
Yes, Big Show was making fun of Johnny Ace a couple of times, actually. And the first time he was talking like him, so he was punished. And then he was talking to two guys that are going to be on some show on USA Network. It doesn't really matter. Some cop show. And then all of a sudden, what's her face? Eve comes up and sees that they're all making fun of Mr. Johnny Ace. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where this is going to pan out, because now he's being such a, you know, a tough guy. You know, like, he will not put up with anyone's crap. And I don't know where they're going with this. I really don't.
You know, I think it's probably a good thing to do for Big Show, since, you know, he is such a large character. And with somebody like that, to really assert yourself around him, I think that gives you a lot of heel heat. And you know, if they really have, like, Big Show holding back, I mean, that's the smart thing to do. Like, really have him be like, oh, I really want to do something about this, but I can't. I think that's the best way to go about it. And I think that the show really was all about Johnny Ace this week. It really just was a focus on him and his power and everything like that, which isn't a bad thing by any means, but that was definitely the focus of the show.
Yeah, and they also had multiple rewrites this week. The rumor was they had, like, three different scripts floating around right before they were going to be going on air, which is a big deal, because a lot of those, like, even the cameraman need to know what's going on, because they have to be looking somewhere with mm-hmm. their cameras properly. So it was one of those weird... It was another weird Raw. Raw on the fly is what it's been the last few weeks. So,
which, I got to tell you, hasn't been nearly as good as it has been in the past. And I think that has something to say about it.
Oh, yeah. And SmackDown, of course, last week was horrible. But anyways, so here's the thing. The Miz is now getting demoted because he's doing the Marine 3, right? Or is it just because they just wanted to demote him?
I think that he has some stuff going on backstage, and I think that he's really rubbed a bunch of people the wrong way, because the losing to Santino was a big, big deal. Like, that was a big deal. And then, of course, he lost to Brodus, which that's not nearly as big of a deal, because you kind of expected it to be, you know, you expected him to lose. But nonetheless, I mean, you're losing to mid-carders. You beat John Cena at WrestleMania last year. Explain that to me.
That's true. That is true. Then they decide, yeah, we're going to put you in these bad matches that you don't need to be in.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. Poor Miz. But the thing is, they can't release him because if he's going to be in the Marine 3, that's going to be promoted. I mean, he's going to be working on it. Then they have to edit. You don't want to release a guy yet.
No,
especially
not at all.
If he goes to TNA. Because if he goes to TNA and that movie gets released, or, you know, with the WWE, they might as well just sit on the shelf because they'll make the same amount of money either way. But
yeah,
who knows? So anyway, so Paul Heyman, who Aaron is friends with on LinkedIn, returns. I was shocked. I was really shocked when I saw him come out. And I was like, where's the baseball cap? It's the first thing I thought. But, you know.
Let me say this much. Ponytail and being bald. Not the best look. Not the best look.
No, but it's Paulie, though.
I know. But anyway, so Paul Heyman returns as Brock Lesnar's attorney, you know, as his manager, which I got to tell you, great, great job.
Yep.
I was surprised. Like, I did not see the photo that Punk tweeted prior to him going out, but Punk actually spoiled it.
Yeah.
So to see Paul Heyman return, it was really a big deal, I thought. And it was cool to see him back. And, you know, he came out, he made a big announcement too, Andy.
Yes. And the announcement was that Brock Lesnar has quit the WWE. Hence, storyline means that they've used a lot of him recently and they want to hold some of those days back. So that's what they're doing. They've decided we need to hold back some days because we want to put him on Survivor Series or Royal Rumble or WrestleMania for next year. Maybe even SummerSlam. You never know. But of course, that we all know the Triple H SummerSlam thing's going to happen. Oh, here's something interesting, too. Speaking of SummerSlam, they're keeping a tight lid on that, by the way. What's going to happen with Lesnar and Triple H? Because, you know, Lesnar's going to face Triple H, and this time Lesnar has to go over. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Which is something that I'm a little concerned about, because I can just... Triple H going over Punk made no sense, and Triple H going over Lesnar would make even less sense. But It's Triple H, and I could see him wanting that.
Yep, and, you know, when you have an ego, you know, that's what happens, even though that it's bad for business, no matter how you look at it. Unless he somehow cheats to win, as in, like... But even that case, Lesnar lost to Cena. He shouldn't have. But that's just plain and simple. But oh well. So anyway, so CM Punk faces Daniel Bryan and A-Train. Lord Tensai. What'd you think about this match, Aaron?
You know, it wasn't a bad match. I almost wonder if Punk's comments earlier made him get squashed. Because, I mean, it really was a squash match.
Yeah.
You know, he really just got the crap kicked out of him the entire match. And to have your WWE champion, the face of your company at the present time, get the crap kicked out of you like that, I mean, you had to have done something. And I'm thinking that might have pissed off management.
No, you know, I don't think that's what it was. I think he just sold it properly. That's what I believe happened. I don't think there was any punishment because he said some funny things or told a fan to kill himself. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it was just... It makes Lord Tensai look that much bigger. That's what I think.
I think that that's what it is, but, you know, it's one of those things where we may find out about it later on.
Well, also when Daniel Bryan wins at Over the Limit, he'll say because he got beat down by this guy and this guy and this guy. And he's like, that's why I actually dropped the title. And he can get away with that. And that would, I think, work. I mean, do you have any more thoughts on it?
Not really. But Andy, let's move on to SmackDown. I wanted to see what your thoughts were on Antonio Cesaro. Now, he's been around for a couple weeks now.
Yep.
So you've gotten a good look at him. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, I know him as Claudio, but, you know, whatever. You know, it's one of those things. Like, he comes out, he's a big character. He's also kind of comical in a way. It's hard to explain, but I find him kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the funny, like last week with Teddy Long, he had to run rub oil all over him, which I thought was hilarious still.
And but, I gotta ask you this much. What's the one thing you notice about Antonio that is a little different?
His pecs.
And what about him in particular, Andy?
They're really huge.
I was thinking more his sausage nipples that he has. I mean, though, there's something. There's something there. There really is.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
He's got some sausage nipples.
Basically, if he was a chick, he'd have a huge chest.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, so Claudio's, or Antonio, if I'm correct. I still think it was Claudio, but eventually that'll change, like, you know, Bryan Danielson. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's nice to have him come in, but I think the WWE is actually debuting way too many guys right now. Way too many, and I think that's actually, someone's going to get hurt over this. He might be the guy. You know, it'll be him or Sandow. Who knows? So anyway, so Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio versus Randy Orton versus Chris Jericho has finally been announced. It's a Fatal 4-Way, which is going to be awesome. That's going to be at Over the Limit. So, Sheamus going to drop it?
No. But my question to you is this. Why is it that Daniel Bryan got moved over to the WWE title after he was wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship, and then vice versa, and have Jericho go from the WWE title to the World Heavyweight title? Can you explain that to me?
Dude, there's nothing to explain. That's the thing. When you do this stuff, you have to do it right, and they've done it wrong. That's all it is. They've just messed up. There's no explanation from it. They didn't have another draft, because first off, they didn't need another draft, because who pay attentions anymore? Because they're all super shows now. Yeah. Unless it's a house show. Then they have it in two locations. Come on. What, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. But you know what doesn't mess up and is always consistent? Our sponsor. That's HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Off the Mark page on Section A6. That's right. You go to Section A6, go to Shows, go to Off the Mark, and you'll see a banner at the top. If you spend $70 or more, if you use the special code WWESAVE.10, make sure you go through our website to do so. You'll save $10 off any order over $70. Make sure you actually check out Off the Mark's page on Section A6, and then go to WWEShop.com from our page. So we can get the credit. So anyways, let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So Matt Morgan versus Crimson was about to go, but what happened here, Aaron?
Well, Bully Ray interfered and attacked him. And so Crimson said, well, count him out then. He's not gonna be a part of the match. Count him out. And I'm going to tell you why this happened during our weekly topic. So stay tuned.
Okay, all right. So Cass and Daniels, they reveal AJ's secret. And that is, Aaron, what?
He and Dixie Carter kissed.
So
I that's the big secret, and I'm sorry, I like AJ, but it's kind of poor acting. And why this storyline? Like, why?
Because
it's not the worst storyline ever, but why?
Because Hogan was like, you know, it'd be great if we just threw the storyline. Let's run with it. That's what happened here. And it's a dumb storyline, but whatever. It's something that's going to happen. So, anyway, so is this week 3 of the TV title getting defended?
It is, Andy.
So it got defended.
It got defended. I'm a little excited about this.
I'm surprised 3 weeks in a row. I mean, I'll be surprised. Actually, when it hits week 6, that's going to be the big week. Because if it hits week 6, they may continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's all. Yeah, that's about it. So here's something big. Rob Van Dam beat Bobby Roode and Jeff Hardy and Ken Anderson. So he gets to pick a stipulation. What do you think it's going to be?
Oh, I believe he actually already picked it. Although I didn't put it in our rundown. I'll find it in just a second. But it was interesting. The fact that they had a fatal four-way. The idea here was they were going to do an angle where if Anderson won, then he would get placed in the match. Same thing with Hardy. And if Roode won, then he would get to pick the stipulation.
Now, here's the thing. Why on free TV?
That's the thing.
Why would you put such a blockbuster? I mean, you could tease it, but why actually do it? You know, a tag match would have been fine. I just don't get why they'd want to, you know, ruin this. I mean, they basically, or not ruin it, but like put something that should be on a pay-per-view out for free TV. And let, you know, especially because it hasn't happened yet.
I know. So the stipulation, by the way, it's a ladder match. So, you know, which isn't bad. It'll be interesting to see. I'm curious who's going to win because I could see RVD winning because, you know, TNA really likes him a lot. But I think that Roode should keep the title a little bit longer. Like, I'm not sick of his run yet. I really am not. I think that his title run has given him so much star power. And I feel that Roode is a little bit better known now, and that he, in TNA he's hated. And you know, like how Miz, when he had the title, I knew the moment he dropped the title, he's out of the title picture, plain and simple. Same thing with Jack Swagger. I thought, all right, that's fine. You're done. Like, there's no need for you anymore because you have nothing. Roode drops that title, he's still a main eventer, and he's going to stay a main eventer. And I think that's something that's kind of nice.
He's still not up there, though. I mean, if you ask, you know, a casual wrestling fan, he's not going to know who he is. Still,
you're right. And you know, for example, a friend of the show, David Pate, he may not know who Robert Roode is. You know, or may not know him off the top of his head. Friend of the show, Doug Hahn will. You know, he'll know who he is for sure.
Right, but. I don't know. That might be too bad example because they actually watch wrestling. I'm talking about someone who may watch it like once a month or a couple times a year. Our friend Brian, actually, we should ask him if he knows who he is. Of course, he'd say no.
Well, he doesn't know anyone in TNA, so.
Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair.
He doesn't know any TNA originals.
Okay, all right. So something big happened, actually. Abyss finally returns and the crowd goes nuts.
Yeah, he returned at the end of the show. I think it'll be nice to have Abyss back. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what he's going to be coming out as and what he's going to be going for. You know, has he got a feud in mind? I don't know.
Yeah, and plus, what's been going on with his brother? You know, like asking, so have you heard from Abyss? Where was the last time you saw him?
The reason I've always kept this off the rundown is because it's so stupid.
Yes, it is.
So stupid.
Yes, it's very stupid. But what's not stupid is our weekly topic. So what happened here, Aaron? Something to you.
About 2 weeks ago now, TNA was in Kent, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle, about a half hour outside where I currently reside. And TNA was here last year also, and we did a weekly topic about it, kind of talked a little bit about the going there. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about it now. One of the things that was, I'll say first and foremost, it was really, really tiny. There were a lot less people there this year than there were the previous year.
Really?
And I, like, no joke, if I wanted to, I could have walked down and actually sat in a ringside seat, not the front row, but I could have sat in that section if I wanted to, because there was like very few people there. I would guess 400 people probably.
Wow.
I mean, it was tiny. The crowd was pretty energetic. There were some stuff. It was kind of like, with the couple of matches that happened, you know, that one pointed out, Austin Aries defeated Zema Ion. And it was a really, really good match. In fact, they actually wrestled this past week on Impact. So it was kind of interesting to see that. They, of course, have wrestled at a pay-per-view, too.
Right.
But these two put on a great match. Zema had a lot of heat. A lot of heat. He did a great job of getting heat, too. The whole hair thing that his gimmick is, at house shows, it is amazing. Like, people hate him. People freaking hate that kid. So that was perfect. And Austin Aries was just a huge fan favorite. He had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand. After that, we had Gail Kim and Velvet Sky. Gail Kim won, of course. Velvet Sky, though, was really over, and there were signs saying, I paid to see Velvet. So
did you? How close did you see her? How close were you?
I wasn't that close.
I was going to say, because she's probably, of all the wrestlers I've ever seen without makeup, she's probably the hottest still.
Yeah. Well, TNA does have the most attractive women, I would say.
Well, the Bella twins are kind of hot, but
they were okay, but you know, anyway, so there was that Motor City Machine Guns wrestled. That was so money. Those two put on an amazing match. They were so over and they had so much energy though. Like, honestly, price of admission was worth it to see them wrestle. And they took on Christopher Daniels and Kaz. And the thing is, Daniels and Kaz were the perfect heel team. Like, I could not believe how great they were as a heel team. Daniels, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's taped up his fingers black. He's taped up his pinky, ring finger, and index finger. So his middle finger shows. And then he just shows you his hand. Because all you can see is his middle finger because his other fingers are black. So it looks like he's flipping you off. And he's got his hand just, you know, it's flat. It is hilarious. And so he's doing that the entire time. And at the show, because you're a little bit further away, it looks like he's flipping you off. The only weird thing was, like, Kaz, when he came out, he basically said that the women were ugly and that he was really attractive and whatnot. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird because that's not your gimmick. But, you know, I mean, I guess cheap heat, you know, do what you can. Shannon Moore held up a sign that said this place sucks. You know, he had no idea where he was probably, you know,
who did?
A year ago. I'm sorry.
Oh,
year
okay. Ago, okay. Okay. Okay.
Sign. And I'm like, aren't you a face on TV? Are you trying to be a heel? Like, I don't know. But anyway, that match was probably match of the night. Motor City Machine Guns, Daniels and Kaz. It was just so money. And the buddy that I went with, he's a casual TNA fan. And he was like, wow, like by far match of the night. Then we had Jeff Hardy taking on Gunner. And let me tell you this much. This is a huge mismatch of styles. People were booing Gunner, but they weren't booing him because he was a heel. They were booing him because he sucks. Because Gunner is a poor wrestler. He did not do well. And he can't get heel heat to save himself. He really can't. He really cannot. A boring match. This is one of those where it was like, wow, you know, go, you know, this is bathroom break right here. So there was that. Then after that, there was Crimson taking on Matt Morgan. Now, this match was interesting because the finish that happened was Matt Morgan was sitting up. He was sitting down and he was sitting up. Okay. And Matt, Crimson out of the corner clotheslined him. Okay. So Crimson's in the corner. Matt Morgan is on his butt, but he's sitting up, and he clotheslines him and pins him. Right?
All
right? What kind of finish is that?
That's, you know, a like, finish.
Like, yeah, right? Like, you clothesline me, and that's the finish? What? Mm-hmm. So there was that. But the weird thing was, Morgan then was calling for people to get medical staff out there, and he kept calling and calling and calling. And so they finally got somebody out there, and they were helping him out of the ring, and I'm like, are they running an injury angle? Like, that's kind of weird. And where we were sitting, they had black curtains up, so you couldn't see in the back because, you know, you want that illusion. And I was like, all right, we're going to be able to tell in a second if we still see him limping or if he's just walking normally. And I was like, oh, crap, he's being held back. Like, people were holding on to him, helping him back, you know, to the back, which means that during that match, and I'm pretty sure I know where it happened, he injured his leg. He really injured his leg. So that's why on Impact this past week, he wasn't on last week. And then this week, he got hurt before the match because they didn't want to use him and injure him more. So he may not even be on the pay-per-view. They may take him off. So that's what had happened, which is interesting. Although Matt Morgan, I got to tell you, he was pretty good. The crowd booed both him and Crimson, though. So that's kind of says something.
It says basically that they don't care about him.
Yeah. And then final match of the night, Robert Roode versus RVD. And Robert Roode won, of course, because it was for the title. It was a pretty interesting finish. RVD went for the frog splash. Roode moved out of the way.
It's the five-star frog splash.
Thank you. I apologize. when RVD, you know, he got up hurt, you know, and then he had a fisherman suplex, 1, 2, 3, that was it. Robert Roode, though, during that match, great in-ring psychology. He, like, looked like he was going to wrestle him, then got out of the ring, you know, and then walked. And he's saying, "Now, you know what, I'm not going to go back in. You know, I'm too good for this place, blah, blah, blah." And then, you know, he went back in the ring. It was really good. It was really good. And then afterwards, RVD posed with everyone so you could get your picture taken. The previous year, it was the Hardy Boys, so Jeff and Matt. So myself and Doug Hahn went and got our pictures taken with him. And it was only $20, so it was worth it. And I think with this, you know, same thing as $20. And my friend and I, we got our picture taken with RVD, and, you know, that's pretty cool.
Now, when you and your friend got into the ring, did you open the bottom rope for him?
I did, you know, because I went on top, of course. You know, I put my leg over the top rope.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. But I did go over the second rope. Uh-huh. So, you know, that's.
Now, I always thought this would be funny if Big Show was up to the ring, and when you're walking him up there, if you sat on the top rope, you know, so it'd be easier for him to get over the top rope.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this much. If you have a chance to go to a TNA house show, do it. They are entertaining. This is my second one I've been to. They are enjoyable. I bought tickets not knowing who was going to be there. You know, I had no clue. But, you know, the past – I've gone twice now. Both times I've been entertained. And, you know, it was 30-some dollars, like $33 or something to go. Well worth it. Well worth it. I think next time I go, I really want to do ringside seats sometime. I really do. So I think I'll do that.
Yep. Oh, by the way, something about TNA. I got to tell you, did you hear about the bad news about TNA?
What's that?
The pay-per-view that they have in December is on December 9th.
Oh.
I know, dude. I'm mad, too. So there's not going to be any time when we're Aaron and I are going out for a family vacation, and we were hoping to watch some TNA. And unfortunately, when we're going, they're not going to be, because they're not going to be any taping, so we're not going to be able to go watch TNA. And there's a pay-per-view the day we leave. So
I know. That's sad.
Oh, well. So anyway, so that's all the time we have. So anyways, real quick, before we do that, before we cut the show off, what are your final thoughts on this house show?
It was good. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I think that if you have a chance to go to a TNA house show, do so. I think that they put on a really good show. Don West was a great salesman again, which I think I talked about about a year ago. So you can go back about 50 episodes and pretty much hear kind of the same spiel.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.